Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. You know, when I come into this building, I always think it's like those two double doors, they open out there, and it's like a well opens up in here. And the people in Merstham don't know very much yet about this place, but they're going to. Because when those doors are open and the well is being drawn from, which is what's happening today, isn't it? You're drawing from God's goodness and his mercy. The message goes far and wide because the angels take it out, and people want to know, and they will find out, because this is a place where God has got a plan, and the plan is being released right now, more than you know. In the spiritual realm, it's a fight up there, but it isn't down here. God makes it so straightforward for us to go and talk to people and give out a tract. It's simple, isn't it? Simple. And I tell you a funny story about the crosswalk before we finish with the crosswalk. I know we keep going on about the crosswalk, but it is really important because it's the taking of London. And it's been, how many years is it now? 24 years. Teams have been going out into London every Easter, every Christmas, to really bring the gospel to, you know, that's the time when the school kids are on holiday, all the families come, they come from all around the world. We've got that yellow track in different colours for every kind of language you can think of, Japanese, Hungarian, you know, Swedish, French, German, Spanish. We have. I checked with Eric yesterday, there is German. Anyway, we haven't got them here, no, I know, but there are some. So I think the Germans themselves translated it. That's amazing, because all those nations are there in London, aren't they? If you go to London, it's you feel like a foreigner, don't you? Because everybody's speaking another language. But praise the Lord that most of them do speak English anyway, but they love the crosswalk. They come and they're so drawn. They are drawn to the cross. They can't, you know, it's an image you can't get out of your soul because God doesn't allow it to. It's like when you see someone walking with a cross, you stop and you look and you think, you know, what is that about? Something in you wants to know what it's all about. And one time we were walking along Oxford Street, which we didn't do very often because it's too busy at Christmas, and it was Christmas time. And suddenly it started to hailstone. They were like golf balls coming out of the heavens. It was awful. And they were building up on the pavement and we had to walk on them. And Alistair had a fairly new pair of boots on. And all of a sudden, the whole sole of his shoe fell off. And, you know, when we go up on the crosswalk, we're encouraged not to take any money with us, not to take any purses or anything like that. It's too tempting for people to pickpocket us, you know, because we're intent on giving out tracts and so on. So we don't take handbags or anything, wallets, so we had no money to do anything about it. And we're thinking, what are we going to do? He literally couldn't put his foot down because there's, you know, 3 or 4 inches of these hailstones that have been building up on the pavement. And we were with another couple, and we were with all the team, but there was another couple that were particularly by us, and they were from Oxted, where we were pastoring at the time, and she was an ex-shop detective, and she saw someone coming out of one of the shops in Oxford Street, and she just said at once, she's just stolen something. She just could pick it up straight away. She just knew the behaviour of someone who'd been shoplifting. And this girl was carrying some carrier bags, we have stuff full of stuff. And she ran after her and she went up to her and she said, "What have you just taken from that store?" And the girl looked at her in absolute shock. And she said, "You've stolen something, haven't you?" And she said it really kindly with love, you know. "What have you stolen from the shop?" And the girl said, and she opened the bags and showed her. She got all sorts of stuff, you know. And so she checked with her, you know, are you short of money or what's the situation? And she was short of money. So I think at the end of the conversation, she and her husband gave her some money. But she said, okay, if you want to be set free from this shoplifting habit that you've got into, because one day you're going to get caught and you're going to be put in prison, she said, come back in the shop with me and we'll take the stuff back and ask for forgiveness. Because she said, I know a God who can forgive you all your sins and you can be free of this addiction today. And she, the girl was shaking, you know, but she said, come on, let's go. And she just followed her in like a little lamb into the shop. And the lady stood back and she said, okay, tell them. And so they saw the store detective actually at the door, and she went up and she said, I don't know what possessed me, but I stole this stuff and I want to return it. And the guy was so kind and he said, that's amazing. Nobody ever brings the stuff back. So she said, will you forgive me? And he said, yes, I will. And there were no charges, nothing. And with that, she burst into tears. And so this friend of ours took her by, you know, in her arms and prayed for her. And she just gave her heart to Jesus just like that. And Alistair's still standing there with one foot in the air. And he's the driver of the minibus with no sole on his foot. The sole was one of those glued on soles, so you couldn't put it back on. It was just, there was no way it was going to stick back on. And so we came back, they came back, and has gave some money to the girl, you know, to get her through Christmas. And off she went with a track, knowing that she had given her heart to Jesus. And so this lady came back to us and she said, oh, she said she's left her carrier bags behind. She gave me the carrier bags because she didn't want to have them anymore because she'd used them, you know, to put the goodies in. So she said, what am I going to do with these? So I said, give one to me. So we put it over Alistair's foot. He took his boot off. We put it over his foot. And in those days, all our tracks were in hundreds, so they're in rubber bands. And I got all the rubber bands up my arm from all the tracks we've been giving out. So at the end of the day, we knew how many hundreds had gone, you know. And some of the others had got rubber bands as well, so they all came along with their rubber bands. And we put the on and the sole back on with rubber bands all the way around it. And for the rest of the day, and it was only lunchtime then, and we were going till about 6 o'clock at night, he walked with that sole stuck on his foot with a plastic bag inside his shoe and up his legs to keep himself dry. And when we got home, Alistair said to the Lord, what on earth is this about, Lord? What did you do that for? Why did I have to go through that? And he was holding the sole of the boot. And the Lord said to him, never forget the souls. And we've had that soul ever since to remind us of that day when God said that to us, never forget the souls. People need to be saved. And it's an amazing story, and it's true. he can vouch for it. And it was pretty uncomfortable to walk around like that all day, wasn't it? But yeah. But you never know what God's going to do. And, you know, when we looked at those boots afterwards, we thought, "What? Why has it happened? They're new." So, you know, they went to the bin after that, apart from the sole, which we kept. So God had a message, and he wanted us to be sure that we were not, you know, going to ever forget the souls of people. And I know that, Steve, you're very strong in souls. I know you've got heart for the souls of the people, and many of you have. And it's so important that we let it come out. And, you know, being in this church with the well open, opening up for coffees in the mornings and things like that, it's just so precious. You don't realize how precious it is for people to have the freedom to come. Some of them don't know yet, but they need you to tell them, you know, would you like to come? And invite them and get them in. And I just wanted to say that because remember I brought a message to you recently about the quarry. And God reminded me, the well is like, inside that well is something as strong as or even stronger than the quarry. And God wants us to get it out every time we come to church. He wants a message that will lead our lives. It will affect us. It will enable us to make decisions that are godly and righteous, so that, you know, we stand out in a crowd. People don't realize perhaps that we are different to them. We may not look different, but what we say and what we do reflects Jesus. So it is different. And if we can't see it, they can, if they don't know him. And something about it is attractive. It attracts people to want to get to know what it's about. So you don't ever have to be afraid to ask somebody, would you like to come to church with me next week? Or would you like to come to the coffee morning? Or, you know, whatever. It's you have something here which needs to be shared with the whole world. And God wants that to be open to everybody. So I'm going to talk to you today about praise, because I felt when the team were up in London, I was leading the intercession back in Horsham with a whole team of people, and God was reminding us all the time about the blood of Jesus, for one thing, to pray the blood over the team, pray the blood over the tracks, pray the blood over the pavements, over, you know, wherever they walked, so that the enemy could not penetrate what God was doing. And their testimony is how powerful that became this weekend, that this crosswalk was perhaps the strongest ever from that point of view, that you know, that what God did was more than ever before. The Muslims were attracted, the Hindus were attracted, all the different religions started to come and take the tracks. Some people, one lady was telling me that she got a handful of tracks, and a lady came up and said, can I have a whole load of those, and just took them, you know. And it's like, where were they going to go? We don't know, but we believe that every tract has a destiny. So there was a time in mid-afternoon, yesterday afternoon, where stop praying for the team and pray for Israel. And we started to pray for Israel, and we thought, well, what are we doing praying for Israel in the middle of a crosswalk, when we're supposed to be covering the team in protection, and, you know, and asking God what to pray for the people and all the rest of it. But then when we got home, we discovered that the drones had already been sent out. It was going to take 7 hours to reach Israel, but they'd already been sent out. And just shows you how tuned in you need to be to the Holy Spirit, who wants to tell us what to do. And sometimes you think, oh, this is stupid to do this, but actually it might not be stupid, because God knows everything and we don't. And you just have to go with it by faith, don't you? And anyway, that's by the by. But after we'd prayed, we felt that the team were flagging. We sensed in the spirit that they were flagging, they were tired, their feet were aching, they were hungry, they couldn't find a loo, you know what I mean? All those things were happening. And those things, if they get the better of you, can say, right, I'm going home early, I'm going on the next train or whatever, you know, and you don't stick it out, you don't get to the end of what God really wants to do on the day. And so we said to the Lord, what should we do? And the Lord said, start to praise me and pray for the team to have a praising and thanksgiving heart. And so we started to praise the Lord, and it was mighty and powerful. And it reminded me of a message that I had written down ages and ages ago, which I fished out. And it's all in bits and pieces, but I'll try and give you some of it so that you see the power of praise, because it's something we all need to do. And if we start in the Bible with Psalm 100, we're not going to have the things up on here today, because I've got rather a lot here and I wasn't quite sure which way we were going to go. So follow me, just listen. Psalm 100, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so it might be slightly different version. But it says, this is a very short psalm. Some of you might know it. Some of you might have even had songs from it. And it says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. In other words, all the nations of the earth have to do this. There's going to be a day when all the nations of the earth will shout with joy to the Lord. That's where we're going. That's what crosswalks are all about, bringing people into the kingdom so that they can too shout for joy for Jesus. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And Jesus said, didn't he? My sheep hear my voice. So don't tell me you can't hear God's voice, because you've only got to pick up your Bible and read that, and it says you are his sheep and he is the shepherd, and this is speaking to you, so therefore that is his voice. Amen. So if you want to know something from God, find a scripture and listen to his voice in the word, because Jesus is the word. John says that, doesn't he, in the first chapter. Then it goes on in verse 4. This is the bit I really want to get to. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. So when we come to church, we always start with praise and worship, don't we? Why do we do that? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. It tells us to enter the gates of what? The gates of the church, the gates of heaven. We are entering into the route that God has for us in his communication with us, with praise, with singing and with thanksgiving, and going into the court of heaven with praise. And it says, give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. That's a promise to you. It's a promise that you can stand on. And so entering the gates first, the first thing you have to do is to come in with a thankful heart. You know, when you come into church sometimes and you don't feel like praising and you don't feel like worshiping, but you come because you know you should. It's sometimes a battle, isn't it, to break through. But if you do what the Lord says, start with thanksgiving, because there's one thing we can always be thankful for, always. And that is that God knows you and you know Jesus. Amen? And that is something to be thankful for always. Always, always, always. So if you don't feel like it, if you feel oppressed, or if you've got, you know, nasty things that are happening around you and you feel heavy and depressed and all the rest of it, decide, make a decision. I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I'm going to go into the courts of heaven with praise. And it will change everything, because it changes the atmosphere. How many of you have ever been in an aeroplane? Anybody? Most of you. Okay. So there's two laws, if you like, in the natural world. One is gravity. What does that do? Puts you down, brings the aeroplane down, yeah? And the law of lift, what does that do? Takes the aeroplane up. That's right. And the law of lift propels us upwards. The law of lift in the spiritual realm is praise. Praise is the law of lift. If you need lifting out of a situation, if you need lifting out of a circumstance, if you are feeling sad and unhappy, if you've got anything that's really, you know, difficult for you in your life, you need the law of lift in your life. And the law of lift is praise. So when a plane is going to be flown, the pilot actually has to use certain instruments in order to let the fuel injection happen to start with. And that is what thanksgiving does. It's like, this is the injection of fuel, the fuel that we need to fire us up, to let the law of lift take us up into a higher place out of this yuck that we've been in. And it's so simple when we get hold of it. And then, of course, in the aeroplane, what the pilot is doing is he calls the law of lift thrust. He has to find thrust, doesn't he, to be able to get the plane off the ground. It goes, you know, along the ground, off the ground, into the sky. And the greatest force that God has given us of victory is the force of praise, because it changes everything in our lives. So, you know, we need to use it. We need to realize it's something very, very important to us. And of course, when we get to heaven, what are we going to be doing? You know, we're going to be praising him. We're going to be worshiping him. In fact, they say many, many people who have visited heaven and come back and written books about it, they say that the whole earth only remains because of the praise in heaven. The praise in heaven holds everything in place, because what did Jesus say? Let's have a look at a story you know well. Hang on. The woman at the well. Remember that story? It's John chapter 4. Just if you've got a Bible, just go there. If you haven't, just listen carefully. You remember the whole conversation with the Samaritan woman? She was sitting at the well on her own. The disciples had gone to get some food, and Jesus came along and sat with her and asked her to draw a drink for him. And she was shocked, because the Samaritan women obviously dressed differently, the Jewish women would not have been sitting around at the well. this lady was, because her job was going to be to provide the shepherds with all the water for the sheep and all the rest of it, and she'd probably earn a few pennies like that. But along comes Jesus and asks her, "Will you get me a drink?" And she says, "Well, you know, me, I'm a Samaritan woman. You know, surely you're not going to ask me." And he doesn't take any notice of that. He goes on, and they have a conversation about her telling other people about him. And she says, and it goes into whether she's married or she isn't married, and she has to admit to all the affairs she's been having. And of course, Jesus knows all about it. And she's shocked and realizes that he must be a very powerful prophet. She doesn't know yet who he is. And the conversation continues. And then Jesus tells her in verse 26, Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." So here's a Samaritan woman being told by Jesus that he is the Messiah. Wow, before a Jew? Or had the Jews not listened? But the Samaritan woman got it. And then the disciples come back and they are quite shocked to find Jesus in deep conversation with this woman, you know, that was just unlike him. But in the meanwhile, the disciples are urging him to come and so on. But he... Here we go. Verse 21, actually. Jesus is talking to the lady, and he says, "Listen, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on the mountains or in Jerusalem," or as like Teresa and Doug are doing today, in the prison, could be anywhere, doesn't matter where it is. "But what does matter is this: you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while the Jews know all about him, because salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now." Now, Jesus said that then. It is here now. And that's a couple of thousand years ago. So if it was here then, it's here now, isn't it? "When true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." So God is looking for his people to worship him. Now, praise is the entry gate to worship. And we'll talk about worship another time. So again, it's like an aeroplane has to take you to a destination, doesn't it? Takes you to a place that you're expecting to be. And in for some people, they love praise, because praise is all about getting the drums out and getting the musical instruments out and having a good corporate time together, using the tambourines, waving the flags, clapping our hands. It's joyful, isn't it? But if you go, you can't do it forever, because you'd be worn out. So after you finish praising, what happens? God tends to calm you down, slow us down, and bring us into this place where he wants us to be in full communication with him. That full communication with him is worship. It is worship. And he is saying that in the end, everybody who comes to heaven is going to be one of those people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's important for us to know how to move on from praise to worship, but it's also important for us to know what praise does. And there's so much more to say about it, and I think I've probably said enough for today for you to take it in. But I think we should continue in this vein for a little bit longer next time we come, because I want to get from praise to worship, because worship is very, very important. It's called the currency of heaven. Currency of heaven? Do they have money up there? No, they have worship. But worship has got a two-way trade-off, and we can find out about it as we go on further into it. Are you interested? Yeah? Okay, so what I'd like you to do over the next week or so, while, you know, until we come again, is to have a look at all the scriptures that talk about praise. Have a look at them and use them to say, right, Lord, I'm going into Thanksgiving. Have a look at Thanksgiving as well. I'm going into Thanksgiving. I want to get out of this horrible mood I'm in. I had a fallout with somebody. I've got to get out of this. I know the only way is to come into your presence. It's to let the force of thrust take me out of it. Don't ignore it, because God has given it to you. And he will ask you what you did with it when you stand before him. So use it to bring you into a place of thanksgiving. Use that Psalm 100 to have a look and see, you know, what it's actually saying. It's a simple psalm. It's very simple, but it's got so many promises in it. It's absolutely wonderful. But it comes through doing things the right way. God has always got a right way for us to do things. We can't do things our way and expect him to bless it. Sometimes we do that, you know. We think, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to ask God to bless that. And God is saying, no, that's not really what I had in mind, you know. If you look at my Bible, I've shown you the way to do things. Start with thanksgiving, then move on into praise. Let the praise lift you out of your circumstances, out of those things that really bug you in your life. Amen? So shall we pray? Let's just ask the Lord to help us to be honest with ourselves. You know, when you're having a bad day, or, you know, when you're digging your heels in, refusing to forgive someone, or, you know, something like that. We've all been through that, those times. Or refusing to forgive yourself. Because sometimes you've got to forgive yourself. You've got to say, I'm no good. No, that's not true. Not at all, is it? You are who God made you to be. You are his son and his daughter. And he loves you very much. And he wants you to know that. And so the most important thing that we can do is to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you know me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you came and died for me. Thank you that you've forgiven all my sins, and you'll keep on forgiving all my sins. As I make mistakes, I'll bring them to you every day and ask you to forgive me again and again and again. And you're faithful, because your promises are all yea and amen. So, Lord, we thank you, Father, for what you're saying to us today, Lord. And I pray, Father, that if there's anybody, there's sadness in the church, I know, over certain situations, Lord. And sometimes things disappoint us. But Father God, we know the way out of this, to come back into the fullness of our joy, which is our strength. And we want to be in the strength of God in order that we can be the people he means us to be, to share the gospel with others around the world. So we thank you, Father, that you help us, Lord, to understand what praise is all about, in Jesus' name. Amen. And one